Hello everyone, this is Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years of teaching. The chapter that we are dealing in is the Equal Remuneration Act 1976. So when we talk about remuneration, what is remuneration? Remuneration is something which is given in return as a consideration of service provided by the employer or worker, or any person who is providing any kind of services. So in consideration, remuneration is being provided. And when we talk about equal means same for all. So here the bifurcations between the two masses are men's and women's. So here we have an objective in our mind that for the equal kind of work performed by men and women, it was observed that the women's were paid much lesser than what were the men paid. So when we are on the roadmap wherein we are looking forward as a gender inclusion, in the workforce, we are looking more and more women's to come and participate in the workforce. Because as per the reports, you see the reports given by the McKinsey, which states that the participation of women in workforce will not only foster economic social justice or social balance, but it is also going to foster the economic development of that nation wherein the women are going to participate in the workforce. So it is called as gender parity, wherein we are looking forward to men's and women's contributing to the workforce. But at the same time, there are various reasons wherein the women are not able to participate in the workforce. So we are looking forward to have solutions for those reasons. But then what about those women who have already contributed or already participating in this workforce? They face a problem of there is no pay parity. When we talk about pay parity, that means difference in pay when it compares when it is compared to men and women. So comparatively, the men's are paid higher for the same kind of job performed by women, and women are paid much lesser than that what men's are being paid. So this discrimination should be abolished, and for such a objective of abolishing such type of discriminations happening in an industry, the Equal Remuneration Act 1976 came into existence. The Equal Remuneration Act 1976 aims to provide for the payment of equal remuneration to men and women. So when we talk about equal remuneration, it is for the same kind of jobs. It is not talking about the different level of jobs. The same level of jobs should be paid equally irrespective of their gender, whether they are male or female. Workers, and for the prevention of discrimination on the ground of sex against women in the matter of employment and for matters connected therewith or incidental thereto. According to the Act, the term remuneration means the basic wage or salary and any additional emoluments whatsoever payable either in cash or in kind. So when we talk about remuneration with respect to industry, it is in terms of wages. So it may be in the terms of daily wages, minimum wages that are being paid to a worker for the service provided by him or her. And it may be in the terms of salary, that is the consolidated amount that is being paid end of the month. Or it may be any additional emoluments, that means any additional, for example, say overtime wages. So these are additionally paid over and above. So whatsoever it may be, it should be at par wherein a woman and men both are paid equally without discriminating the gender. If the terms of the contract of employment, express or implied, whether fulfilled. So when we talk about express or implied, that means when we are talking about contract, the Contract Act 1872 lays down certain types of contract. wherein certain terms and conditions have to be expressed. Now, say for example, whenever you are joining an organization, the employer will communicate what package he is going to offer you, right? At the same time, your job will be defined through the job description. But then he has to express it. He has to tell what package he is offering. So that is a contract wherein it is called as express, where the things are clearly communicated. But then, for example, he has offered any XYZ package to you. It is understood that this package is offered to you because you will be working in the organization. So that is implied. That is understood. Now, for example, you are traveling in a train. You are binded to buy a ticket. So when you a ticket checker may hold you and ask you for a ticket, you cannot say that was not communicated to me. It is implied, it is understood that whenever you are using any public services, public transport, you are supposed to buy a ticket. So that is an example of implied contract, and the express contract already we have taken an example of. So when we talk about the contract of employment, so it is implied on the employer to pay equal remuneration. That may be in express or that may be in implied. Nothing in this act shall apply to cases affecting the terms and conditions of a woman's employment in complying with the requirement of any law giving special treatment to women. That means, now there are some special treatments or special leaves, for example, given to women so that they participate to the workforce and they do not quit their jobs, because like in country like India, wherein it is expected from women to take care of their family and kids, it becomes really difficult for a woman to fulfill dual responsibilities with the same type of benefits what are being offered to men. So with due respect and considering these criterias, women are being given some extra privileges in case of leaves, for example, maternity leave. So again, this is an extra benefit or privilege which is being given to women. So in this case, it cannot be expected the men should be given the same. So there are certain criterias wherein equality is not possible. Some privileges or additional benefits will be given to women. To any special treatment accorded to women in connection with the expected birth of a child that we have spoken about, that is the Maternity Benefit Act or the maternity benefit arising in due course, or the terms and conditions relating to retirement, marriage or death, or to any provision made in connection with the retirement, marriage or death. So any such provisions will not be binded in such a contract. The Central Industrial Relation Machinery that is set up to look after the matters which are relating to the equal remuneration in the industry, and that is basically this machinery is set up to have a better control mechanism or to supervise the effective implementation of this act in the industries. In the Ministry of Labour is responsible for enforcing this act. So the Central Industrial Relation Machinery is responsible of the effective implementation of this act in the industries. CIRM is an attached office of the ministry and is also known as Chief Labour Commissioner, that is central organization, which will look into the matter of implementing the act into the industry, having a proper check whether it is being followed by the employer organization or not. The CIRM is headed by the Chief Labor Commissioner, that is reporting to the central authorities. Again, the main provision of the act are: no employer shall pay to any worker employed by him or in an establishment a remuneration, whether payable in cash or in kind, at rates less favorable than those at which remuneration is paid by him or to the worker of the opposite sex in such establishment. That means the law or the act, the primary objective is to abolish discrimination based on gender. So here clearly it is mentioned that no employer, whether the employer itself is a male or female, his or her, so they have to pay at a par what is being paid to men for the equal type of work which is being performed by women. In such establishments for performing the same work or work of a similar nature. Also, no employer shall, for the purpose of complying with the provision of this act, reduce the rate of remuneration of any worker. Now, here when we are talking about, you know, that men and women should be paid at par. So, we are here talking about the woman should not be paid less than whatever the minimum criteria are set. Say, for example, minimum wages are being set for certain industries and certain type of workers. So here, say for example, a man according to that minimum wage rate is being paid 300 rupees. Now here, we are looking forward that if similar kind of work is being done by woman, then she also should be paid 300. But at the same time, because the employer don't want to pay that 300 to woman, what he might do is, he might reduce the 300 to 250 for men's also. So this also should not be done in the establishment. No employer shall, while making recruitment for the same work or work of a similar nature or in any condition of service subsequent to recruitment such as promotion, training or transfer, make any discrimination against women except where the employment of women in such work is prohibited or restricted by or under any law for the time being in force. So in this act, it is not only, you know, fighting for the rights of equal remuneration for women at par with men. It is not only talking about, you know, the economic objectives, but here the act also tries to protect the right or the dignity of the women's by, imposing compulsions on the employer that not to discriminate at the time of recruitment. That means if there are some vacancies arising in the establishment while the recruitment, that means while hiring people, he should not discriminate, he or she should not discriminate based on the gender. If he or she finds that the woman is equally competent enough to occupy the seat in the establishment, that woman should be hired. But based on the gender, it should not be discriminated that women should not be hired because their income is secondary or so, and the men should be hired. So there should be no discrimination while payment of wages or salaries, but also at the time of recruitment. Not only at the time of recruitment, they are also, you know, protecting their rights when it comes to transfers and promotion. So, for example, say there are any promotion opportunities coming up, without discriminating on the basis of gender, women should or the men, both men and women should be judged based on their performance and competence and not based on their gender. So equally, this act is looking forward not only for the remuneration, not only for recruitment, but it also talks about the promotion and transfers of women on, you know, fair basis. Yes, of course, there are some restrictions on hiring of women on certain processes or working on certain machineries, which are also enacted in Factories Act 1948. Wherein some processes or some machineries, women and children are not allowed to work. So in that case, yes, of course, the employer has to give preference to men and go and work on that particular processes. But otherwise, if there is no provisions as such, women should be provided with the equal opportunity at par. The main provision of the act are every employer shall maintain such registers and other documents in relation to the workers employed by him or in the prescribed manner. So when we are talking about, say, recruitment or we are talking about payment of wages, so there will be list of registers which are given in this provision. So the list of registers need to be maintained where records are properly entered on a regular basis, which will act as a proof that there is no discrimination done during recruitment, promotion, transfer or payment of wages by the employer. If an employer makes any recruitment in contravention of the provision of this act, or makes any payment of remuneration at unequal rates to men and women workers for the same work or work of a similar nature, or makes any discrimination between men and women workers in contravention of the provision of this act, omits or fails to carry out any direction made by the appropriate government, then he, she shall be punishable with fine or with imprisonment or with both. So, in case any employer or any establishment, he or she fails to follow the guidelines which are being issued by the appropriate government, that means recruitment on the basis of competence and skills and not on the basis of gender, and if it is found that they have done any partiality based on gender and recruited men and not the women, and if they are found guilty, the employer will be penalized. They have to pay a fine, but yes, imprisonment also can be awarded, or both can be given. In case it is found that the recruitment was not done according to the guidelines given in the provision. Similarly, if it is found that the wages which are being paid to men are higher and for the similar work than the women's in the establishment, same time of penalty and imprisonment can be imposed. At the same time, any type of discrimination which is based on gender, then the employer of that establishment has have to undergo through penalty, fine or imprisonment. Where an offence under this act has been committed by a company, every person who at the time of the offence was committed was in charge of and was responsible to the company for the conduct of the business of the company, as well as the company, shall be deemed to be guilty of the offence and shall be liable to be proceeded against and punished accordingly. So when we are talking about a company, say for example, company is a legal and artificial person. So whom are we going to punish? Whom are we going to penalize? So here they have made further clarifications. Definitely when we are talking about company, there will be representatives of the company who will be looking into the matter. And the person who is directly associated with this type of processes, a person who actually has committed this, say for example, a recruitment officer. So a recruitment officer has hired men's and not hired women's, though they were competent. So here in a company, definitely the company is liable to pay penalty and fine. But at the same time, when it comes to imprisonment, the recruitment officer has to go behind the bars. So here when we are talking about company, not only company but the representatives of the company or the authorized person who has committed this offense will be punishable under this act. For the purpose of providing increasing employment opportunities for women, the appropriate government shall constitute one or more advisory. So here when we are talking about more and more women's participation in the workforce, and you are motivating the women's to come and participate in the workforce, and the increasing number of employment opportunities need to be provided to the women's. So for this purpose, the government shall constitute one or more advisory committees to advise it with regard to the extent to which women may be employed in such establishments or employments as the central government may by notification specify in this behalf. So here they will identify the areas. Now, as I have already discussed, in Factories Act 1948, there are some areas wherein women cannot be employed. So here we will identify, or the government will identify all those areas where the women can be employed and wherein they can maximize the employment opportunities for women. What additional provisions or policies can be made for the further participation of women in the workforce. The appropriate government may, by notification, appoint such persons as it may thinks fit to be inspectors for the purpose of making an investigation. Now, again, whenever any policy is being planned and implemented, as we have discussed regularly and repeatedly, a proper control mechanism has to be set up. And to have a proper check or control on whether the act is implemented by the employer or establishment or not, appropriate government by notification will appoint a person which he may thinks or the government may thinks fit to be an inspector. And the inspector is responsible, you know, to control and supervise whether the implementation of the act is being done genuinely or not. For the purpose of making an investigation as to whether the provision of this act or the rules made thereunder are being complied by the employer or not, and may define the local limits within which an inspector may make such investigations. So for every inspector appointed to go and investigate in the establishment, he has that powers to, you know, enter into the establishment and demand for all those registered and records which are being prescribed in this act and provision to be maintained by the employer. For example, we have discussed about, you know, the records which will justify the appointment of a man or a woman while the recruitment, the promotion given to them, wages and salaries paid to them. So various registers which are already listed in the provisions. So on demand, the inspector has that power and authority to check such registers and records. So this Equal Remuneration Act is not only about the remuneration, economic objective, but also to fulfill the social objective of, you know, more and more women's participation in the workforce. That is all about the human right, basically, that if we are doing equal work, we should be paid equally without any discrimination based on gender. And providing, you know, further opportunities for women to grow on fair basis. Thank you very much.